Blog Talk Radio.
Here on October 10, 2018, and I do a little brief introduction, and so I'm going to tell you about a disorder, a personality disorder that I was reading about this week. It's called borderline personality disorder, and I think the name is a little overdramatic because all it seems to be is somebody who has a fairly simple issue. They have a giant-sized fear of abandonment. So when they feel just a little hint of rejection, they have very strong feelings about it. But here's the thing. They get nasty. They're like a mean drunk, right? So when you read stories about the antics these people get involved in, it's as plain as day that there's nothing out there for them to be so upset about, right? But apparently the feelings they have are very hard to shake. And I think that recruiters, at least some recruiters, can relate to this personality disorder because you have to call people all day long who don't want to hear from you. And you have to tell people who want a job that the company is rejecting them. And that can make some people feel really bad. But again, recruiters, the obvious solution is simple. Just remind yourself over and over again that there's no real danger out there. A million people can get mad at you, and you're still going to be okay. And that's the same advice I give people who are afraid to come on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show. Having animal all these
You're
many
welcome.
Years.
You are
Did
welcome.
Say it was October already?
It's October 10th.
Gosh.
We've got Indian summer. We've got Indian summer here. It was freezing before. Now it's nice for a couple of days.
Don't you mean indigenous peoples?
Yeah, I don't know what they call it now.
American?
I'm sorry, everybody. Don't take me off the air.
No,
I want to thank my sponsor.
I shouldn't have to work this hard to bring you up to speed, dude.
That's your job. You do it every time.
But,
okay.
I could use a little help from you. I mean, don't make it so obvious that you are totally clueless as to the way things are.
I guess I was brought up in another era, but not as bad as the era that Harvey Weinstein claims he was brought up in. Look, I want to thank my sponsors, Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T, the online interview technology, Hired Tool, H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L, the super-duper sourcing tool. And finally, but not least important, PC Recruiter, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. Now, this guest today, I don't know how to say her name exactly. The first name is spelled R-A-I-N-E, but I know that's pronounced Rainy because she says it on her LinkedIn profile. But her last name is like Lunk, L-U-N-K-E, is Rain. Rainy, is it Lunky or Lunk? How do you say your name?
It is Rainy Lunky.
Rainy Lunky?
Yes.
Yes? Louder, please.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes!
Okay, Rainy Lunky. You know what? I'm glad I didn't have a name like Lunky. I have to go through school, you big Lunky. Okay? Anyway.
Well,
look.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a different
okay.
era.
Look, we're going to do a song today. Because your name was Rain, I couldn't resist. And I put a survey out for songs on my Facebook group, and the one I liked best is by Garbage. It's called I'm Only Happy When It Rains. Do you know it?
I listen to it. I'm a fan now.
Okay, we're going to go, okay? You sing with me? You're going to sing
know
with
the
me?
Words.
Jerry,
I just heard it.
Okay. Okay, just hum along. Jared, do you know the song?
It.
Anybody else know the song?
I got it. I have to boycott the song for numerous political reasons. I would have thought that you'd pick Eddie Rabbit's I Love a Rainy Night.
No.
An American classic.
Okay. You know what? If I started off with $5 Starbucks cards to the people who sing with me, do you think I would get anybody, you know, volunteering? I wouldn't mind for a little while. $5, right?
Let's do Purple
Coffee.
Rain.
No.
No.
I didn't even think of that one. No one suggested that, Al. That's pretty good. But I'm going to sing this. 1, 2, 3. I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know that you can't appreciate it. Come on, Rain. This is it. I'm only happy when it. Come on,
rains.
Yeah.
Your sense of rhythm is uncanny for a Canadian.
People are hanging up already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. On Twitter, her Twitter name is Rain. It looks like Rain Lunk, okay? RAINELUNKE. You ought to sue your parents, okay?
Really? Yeah, you've got a case there.
Yeah, Rainy Lunky. Even Jerry agrees with me.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what interested me about you, Rain, from your LinkedIn profile. You left a corporate recruiting role, a nice secure role, to go into staffing because of a personal challenge to yourself. What did that mean? You wanted to see if you could get out of the easy life and make it in the big, tough world on your own? Well, what was happening there?
Yeah, I did. I started recruiting in a corporate environment, and most of my peers and my managers all came from the agency world, and they had many words to share about their past experience.
Can anybody hear her? Can anybody hear this girl? I can't.
I can hear her, but here's what I didn't hear. I didn't hear a proper introduction of who she is and what she does, or any opportunity for her elevator speech.
Oh, Rain.
You need to be nice to her, Michael.
Who is the guest
nobody
today,
ever has
man?
Nobody ever has an elevator speech, but go ahead, Rain. Introduce
yourself.
She does.
I'm sure
succinctly.
She does.
Okay, go ahead, Rain. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries at all. Hopefully you can hear me. I feel like I'm screaming.
I can't. Alan Floor, can you hear her? Alan Floor. Michael G. Cox, can you hear this girl?
I think she sounds just fine.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell your story, Rain, briefly.
Rainy.
Well, I'll keep it short. Yes, it is rainy, but I will. It's fine. Most people do end up calling me Rain if they really don't know me. So currently today what I'm doing is I left the agency world after 6 years, and I started my own business. So I'm doing consulting in a variety of different ways, but it's all.
I have sent the tickets for him for November 5th.
What?
Period.
I mean, instead of talking.
You've always got some weirdo that just puts you on speakerphone and then goes about their afternoon.
Yeah.
It's so rude.
Just keep talking.
So, Rainy, after 6 years in the agency world, you decided it was time to go do your own thing. Since then, you've been consulting in numerous areas. Specifically, though,
recruiting.
Then why do you say you're consulting? I don't understand that. What do you mean? Talking to people about recruiting?
Yes, and I'm not a typical, you know, hey, I'm a headhunter. I'm going in. I'm doing a variety of things. For example, one client that I'm working with now, I'm helping them implement their first applicant tracking system. Another client I'm working with, I've gone in and trained their whole recruiting team. Another client, I'm helping them reposition their employment branding through job advertisements and things like that. So it's a variety of different things, which is why I say consulting.
Okay, so you're not recruiting then?
I'm doing that as well.
Wow, busy, busy.
But I'm very selective in what I recruit for. So, you know, I love the hunt. I love difficult to fill roles. I love to source directly. And so, if I can go in and help a client be able to work on recs that they can be successful at hiring and recruiting for. I'm going to provide them information
okay,
to do that.
Okay, hold on. Let me interrupt here. Jerry's letting you go on, okay? You said you like to work the tough, hard-to-find positions. Like what? Give us an example. What's a tough-to-find position that you've worked on?
Gosh.
I investigated everything you've written on LinkedIn, and the only ad I saw was for a recruiting job. So you go ahead. Tell me, what's the tough job you've been working on?
Well, I would say it's tough for the clients. It's not necessarily tough for me. So most recently, I've hired two IT manager roles. Again, not tough roles for me, but tough roles for the company. They don't know how to approach the market. They don't know how to engage with passive candidates.
What don't they know? I don't understand. What don't they know? What makes it maybe this will answer the question. Are corporate recruiters dumb? That's the recurring question here, okay? So what is it that they don't know that you don't know that makes it tough for them and easy for you? Come on, for an IT manager role, tell us what they don't know how to do and what you know.
Just real quick, a point of technical concern here. Animal, you've got some caller here that maybe got you on speakerphone or some weird thing going on, man. Something.
I can't hear. I don't hear anything.
The protocol.
Does anybody hear?
Bad.
I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything in
the
background. Does everybody else hear it? We got a lot of hang-ups.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Okay, Rainey, just tell us, what is it that makes it hard for them and easy for you? This is an important question.
I think it's a couple things. First of all, there are, at least the companies that I'm working with, there's not a lot
of
dedicated
recruiters.
Hold on.
The job board doctor
recruiters.
Hung up on us already, okay? He said, listen to a bit of the Animal Show today. So it means he already hung up. We haven't got going.
Yeah.
And he says, Jerry is back, but Animal still can't sing, and it's still a hot mess. Okay, sorry. Yeah, let's start working. Tell us, answer that question, please. I'm going to be quiet now.
I would say there's a couple things. There definitely are recruiters out there that have just found themselves in positions. I think we all know that that's happened to a lot of individuals. And then companies don't invest in those individuals to give them the proper training to be successful in their role. So that's certainly something that happens. And then a lot of the companies that I work with today do not have dedicated recruiters. They have an HR generalist who hates recruiting. They'd rather do everything else, and they hope to post a position and fill the job, which doesn't typically happen in today's job market.
Okay, so that's the whole answer to the question. So you said you made your mark first in sourcing, right? That was your forte. Am I right about that?
I would say that that's what I loved to do, and I really crafted that when I was early on in my career as a recruiter.
Okay. How did you become an excellent sourcer, since you obviously consider yourself one? What goes into it? How did you develop your skills?
I mean, I followed recruiting leaders. I mean, when I think back 20 years ago, I was following Lou Adler. I was on his webinars. I was utilizing all of the resources that are out there available to me,
vague. That's vague. Lou Adler, okay. All the resources, that doesn't tell us anything. This is 2018. There's people listening on the show. There's people listening. They want some concrete. So you don't have anything. You're dated. Is that what you're saying? I can't advise anybody on how to do what I did. Is that what you're telling me right now?
No, I would definitely tell people the first thing as a recruiter you need to do is get plugged into SourceCon. If you're a technical recruiter, you need to get plugged into Talent 42 and the recruiting conference that happens in Seattle in June every year. And if you need specific training, connect with Recruiting Toolbox. I mean, those are kind of my three go-tos that you have to get plugged in as a recruiter if you really want to get some valid insight on how to do your job.
Okay, but I also saw you raving about Mark Tortorici's training. Is that ongoing as well?
Oh, of course. Yeah, and he is very plugged into SourceCon and Recruiting Toolbox. So he is certainly a technical recruiting trainer as well that I would highly recommend.
Okay. You say about yourself that you like to drive operational efficiencies. That's a term I would never use. What does it mean? What have you done? Really, go ahead. Tell me.
Well, for example, when I worked at I was hired at a corporate company to come in, and they needed to double their workforce over the next 2 to 3 years. And they had no dedicated recruiter. They were spending over $1 million in agency fees. And
wow.
They had, yeah. So I basically created a plan that included how we're going to reduce agency fees, which was a huge concern.
So you're a recruiter now helping get rid of recruiters?
Well,
that makes me sad.
Well, it was streamlining the process and making sure that we were engaging.
How did you get –
can we get to a point, Animal?
Well, I'm waiting. Alan, ask her a question.
I've been waiting for 20 minutes.
Go ahead. Ask a question. You take charge. It's your show for the next 2 minutes.
Okay. Rainey, hi. Alan Fleur here, 20-year recruiter, have my own company, love externals, love internals. Here's my question. 30-second elevator pitch. We're in an elevator, and I'm the director of TA at IBM. Hey, Rainey, what do you do?
I help companies improve their hiring process.
Okay, I'm at the 7th floor. I got to get off. Nice talking to you.
Jerry went through that already. Didn't Jerry go through that already? I mean, wake up.
Hey, it's Mike. Can I ask a question of Rainey?
Rainey, hang in there, though. It gets better and easier, okay?
Here's an easier question. I read an article that you posted, and it said you should ban gender-coded words from job ads. I've spoken about it before, but I've never got any agreement or feedback from anybody on the show. Are you very sensitive about gender-coded words in job ads? Yes or no?
No.
So you don't agree with what was in that ad. You don't think there's certain words that women cause women not to apply? Because in the ad it said, men apply for jobs more than women. Women know that they're qualified, but there's words in those ads that turn them off. You don't agree with that idea. Am I right about that?
I'm not sensitive about it. It's not that I don't agree with it. I think you have to know I mean, it's a yes and no answer for me, honestly. You have to know your audience, your marketplace. Obviously, if you're looking to hire some, not to say that there's not female construction workers out there, but you have to know your audience and your demographic.
What words should, if in your market, which is sounds like it's IT, what words should you stay away from if you don't want to turn women off? Are there any such words or phrases?
Well, I would certainly use what is the tool called?
I've got one. I think when someone reads work hard, play hard, that means it's a hey, work and then go out to the bar and get hammered every night.
I don't think it does, Jerry.
I don't think that's appealing to women. They don't do that. Guys do that.
Hold on a second. Let's survey that. Alan Fleur, you've got a lot of opinions today. Work hard, play hard. Does that mean drink hard?
Yes. Oh, you're asking Alan? Oh, I thought, I'm the one that said
Alan
that.
Alan disappeared.
I agree with
Michael G. Cox. Michael G. Cox, does work hard, play hard mean work hard, drink hard? Is anybody still there? Do we lose everybody already?
Do we lose everybody? Okay, I win.
So.
Hello. This is killing me. I win all the time.
Okay, here's
Hello.
Another one.
Baby.
Okay, but I got news for you, Rainey. You can't talk out both sides of your mouth on this show, okay? You got to say yes, I agree, or no, I don't, or you can't say it's a yes or no answer, or use text recruit. Say, I don't believe in it. I never take those things into consideration when I'm writing an ad, okay? Men and women are the same for me. That's what you're really saying, but you didn't want to say it so clearly. On this show, you speak with no forked tongue, okay? Short ads are better. That was another thing in the ad. 1 to 300 words had a significantly higher than average apply rate. Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Did you read the article before you posted it?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Okay, so do you keep your job ads, down to, I think you said, 4 bullet points or something like that, max?
No, not 4 bullet points. I mean, no, not 4 bullet points, not a job ad itself. I would say 3 to 4 bullet points under each category. So if you have job requirements, I personally recommend that there's 3 to 4 bullet points. That's, if there's more than that, you're going to lose interest and your targeted market.
Okay, so you could have a billion.
The interest that you gained in the first 2 or 3 bullet points, like, do they see the 5th thing about the company and think, that's it, I'm sick of this place? I mean, how does that actually happen?
I think that's too speculative a question for anybody to say.
All
they just
right,
started to get tired
right.
of reading.
Is anybody
everything
even
has
still
to be...
on this call? Did we lose everybody?
No,
what happened,
nobody
animal?
Seems to be here anymore. Yeah, I know. We got some problems, Jerry. Somebody, area code 704 just came in, but we got two hang-ups.
704,
okay.
That rings a bell.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What about this one? It said you should post your job ads early in the week. Candidates view and apply to job posts most often on Mondays. Half or 60% of people look at job ads on Mondays, and most of them are for the first 3 days of the week. By Wednesday, it's over. So do you abide by that?
I would definitely say, based on the data that I have been aware of, that is what is indicating. You get more applications on, you know, Tuesday than you would on a Friday.
Uh-huh. Okay. You know what? Like, I found the article interesting. You don't seem to find it as interesting as me. The last question I got from it was that ads don't work equally in every industry. Like, if for government jobs or nonprofits, you know, the ads don't work that well. Healthcare and pharma, ads don't work that well. In the automotive industry or transport, they're the lowest. No response. Have you noticed that? Or do you work with ads a lot? I assumed you did because you posted this article.
Yeah, I do. I really help clients with their job postings, and certainly that is something that people still rely on today. And I think it's certainly something that, you know, these are points that are data points that I've gathered from, you know, resources like Career Builder and Dice and other places like that that are actually tracking
Let
that.
Me Rainy.
I'm sorry to interject here, but Rainy is a very nice person. This show's going nowhere.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen,
you've got
here,
a sponsor to put on a high caliber, high energy, high impact show.
Yeah, well, I'm asking the wrong question for
it.
Her. I just don't think like her. I'm going to do an ad, Rainey. I'm going to do an ad, and you think about
possibly
what you
one
want
of your last ads as they pull their sponsorships.
Okay. You think about what you would like to talk about, because I think I'm just leading you in directions that are not of interest to you.
Yeah.
You lead me, okay? But
there we go. I
that.
Heard a little pep there, a little spark.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about fear of
Let me do an ad first, Rainey. What's the problem? I can barely hear you, okay? But let me do
an
ad.
And I'm going to go grab a bag of chips, salt and vinegar
go
chips.
Ahead.
I got
go
from
ahead,
Costco. It's
Jerry.
A huge bag. I've been working on it for 2 weeks.
Head, fatso. Okay,
right.
Look, okay, Honeit, HONEIT.com. It's phone interview technology. Here's what it does. It records your interviews and turns the key questions and answers into separate audio clips to help hiring managers quickly hear the motivation, the personality, and the enthusiasm that the recruiter just heard. When you can share a story with a hiring manager in the candidate's own voice, you know what? It speaks volumes that you can't get from a resume or a recruiter's report. So if you want to get a hiring manager excited about a candidate, share some of the sizzle with Honeit, HONEIT.com. Reading, if that's your bag, you don't like listening, this is my PS, it automatically turns the audio into a transcript as well. Honeit.com. Check it out. Back to Rainy. What do you want to talk about, Rainy? Better be good.
Let's talk about fear of abandonment as a recruiter.
You want to talk about it? Go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
No. I see you're going to lead. Is there something specific you want to say about that? I have to tell you something. No one ever mentions my introductions during the show, so I'm shocked. But if there's something you'd like to say about it, in addition to what I said, I'm all ears. Go ahead.
No, I just I think that would be a very much more interesting conversation than job ads, to be honest with you.
Why? Okay, here's what you said also in your report from one, I think, SourceCon. If sourcing tool makers won't give you a free trial, walk away. Do you believe that?
True. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so if they won't give you a free test, or like a 14-day trial or at least a week, don't use them. Okay. And you quoted, I think, Glenn Cathy, you said that 90% of the people on LinkedIn want to hear about new positions. 75% of them are not actively looking, but they still want to hear. Do you believe that based on your own personal experience?
I do. And I think it's all about how, as recruiters or hiring managers or representatives, are reaching out and approaching individuals about job opportunities. That's what it comes down to. You cannot send an individual a job posting, a job description, but if you approach it in a way of learning about who they are, what their passions are, what their career desires are, they're going to be much more open to engaging in a conversation and hearing about a potential opportunity.
Okay, but the first issue is the initial approach. You have to get them, you know, talking at least a tiny bit before you can get them interested in the job itself. How do you get them, if it's true that 90% of LinkedIn people want to hear about new positions, it should be no problem at all to get them on the phone, but we know it is, so especially in IT. So what do you recommend? How do you get people on the phone?
How do I get them on the phone?
Yeah.
You're asking? So how do I get
asking.
Them on the phone?
You're the guest. I'm the host, okay?
I call
if
them.
Anybody else has questions, you know, go ahead. But right now I'm the only one asking them.
I call them. I don't wait for an invite to have a conversation with them. I pick up the phone and I basically call them. That's how I get them on the phone. Now, if I'm
How do you get the
message,
phone number? How do you get the phone number? Oh, I'm going to run you through this. How do you get the phone number?
Well, right now I'm a huge fan of HireTool. I love the Chrome extension. It is providing the most accurate and valid contact information than most other tools that I've used.
Okay.
So then
you get on the phone, you call the person directly, and what do you say to them? What are your first words?
Hi, Animal. This is Rainy. How are you?
I'm okay. Who are you?
Well, I mean, it really depends on the who I'm calling. I do my research before that call. So am I connected with them? Do I have a connection? Do we have a mutual interest? Are we involved in certain, groups together? So if it's a technical project manager.
You don't know this person from Adam or Eve, okay? You don't know them.
Then I'm not calling
them. This is a cold call. What do you say to them?
Then I'm not calling them if I don't know them. There's nothing. I'm not calling them about, hey, I have a job opening. I want to talk to you about this role. I'm not calling them. I'm doing my due diligence prior to reaching out to them. So I need to know something about them.
You know what job they're in, and you know what job you're trying to fill. What more do you need than that? Especially if what Glenn has said is true, that 90% of people want to hear about new positions. What more do you need? What do you have to learn? That they like camping and you do too? I mean, what's going on here?
No, if I know – so you say that I know the job that they're in, then I'm going to do my due diligence on the company that they're working for. You know, is
yeah.
there any, is there anything happening at their company? You know, can I get some information on their benefit offerings, and how does that compare to the role that I currently have?
How do you
can
find out about
them?
Their benefit offerings? Tell me that. Answer that question. I don't know. How do you find out about their benefits?
You go to the website. You go to the careers page. Most companies these days are sharing that information on their careers page.
Hmm. Okay. Does everybody agree with this? Is anybody still listening?
Can I just throw out a request to, like, the general working employment recruiting world here? Can we stop using due diligence as a term? It's a legal term. I mean, it doesn't mean research or figuring stuff out. It's a legal term to satisfy a legal requirement. Just throwing that out there. That's a pet peeve. I'm sorry, Rainey. I don't mean it all to come out on you today. But it's a legal term.
Okay, Jerry, well, look, am I harassing the guest? I want to know what she says to the person when she calls. I like it. She said, I don't waste time with emails. I get on the phone. And now I got her, you know, well, what do you say when you're on the phone? I don't call them. I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing.
Rainey, put me in my place, okay? You know, I was telling Jerry that just this week I found out that more people than I thought before, they just don't like me, okay? Someone told me there's a new recruiting group. Don't apply. Don't apply for it, she said, because the moderator won't let you in. I was kind of shocked, okay? I know I'm blocked by a lot of people. So people say that I harass the guests. I don't think I'm harassing you. I just want you to teach me how to make a recruiting call. Do you want to pass on to the next question, yes or no?
No, I mean, and I'll have to say, it is definitely true. People don't like you. But I find
okay.
it absolutely hysterical in the mornings when I dial in and I listen to the show, and I am freaking cracking up. I am laughing so hard. And my business partner, she is just like, turn that damn thing off.
Mm.
And I think it's absolutely hysterical. And
yeah.
And not that I
for some reason I was thinking that you were working by yourself. Did I miss that?
I didn't necessarily share that information up front.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
No problem.
Okay. Well, Rainey just did an ad for me, and I'm going to do an ad for one of my sponsors.
Huh.
And then we'll move on to another question, because this obviously isn't the best one. Okay. We did hone it. I'm going to talk about PC Recruiter. Remember them? You know, there's a lot of – hey, everybody, recruiting animal here for PC Recruiter. You know, there's a lot of recruiting software out there, and people are always wanting to try something new. They're fickle. Anything shiny, they want to try it, right? So if you're making recruiting software, what you want to do is make it easy for people to try your software, and you do that by making it easy for them to switch from what they're using now to what you've got. And you know what? That's something PC Recruiter does too. PC Recruiter offers two types of what they call data conversions. One is fast and simple. The other is custom made for you. You might prefer one. You might prefer the other. That's up to you. And look, here's something important. If you left PC Recruiter, you were a customer and you saw something else and everybody's talking about it, you said, I'm going to try that too. Okay? But it was a and one of the features was it's a simple one. Oh, I like it. It's easy. It's simple. But you found out that it was too simple and it's missing some of the features that you liked on PC Recruiter. Look, go back to PC Recruiter. They love boomerang customers. Okay? They'll welcome you with open arms like the prodigal son. Okay, don't be shy about that, because if you're a recruiter, PC Recruiter loves you. So go check them out at PCRecruiter.net. Okay, back to Rainey. Rainey, it's kind of like Reenie. Reenie, okay? Okay, what about this? There was a Matt Charney and Martin Lee put an ad. Like Reenie, do you know the name?
No.
Renee, like... Don't walk away, Renee.
Oh.
Okay, Rainey, listen to this one. Here's an ad, a real ad. If you get sick a lot, have a lot of drama in your life, or have other commitments that get in the way of your work, then please do not apply, as reliability and focus are keys to this position. We aren't here to provide you with a living. You must be ready to work hard. This role is not a chair-warming exercise. There are no free rides. There's no free or easy rides. Do you think that's a little too tough or direct? Or I think there's something refreshing about it. What do you think?
I like it. I like it. I mean, it needs to align with the company itself. That's my only concern. Is that
uh-huh.
who they are? Is that their culture, or is this just some random job ad that?
Yeah, that's no random ad. Jerry, do you like it?
I give it 50-50.
Oh, really? That's all? Okay, here's a question. You said in your ad, for a recruiter, you put up a recruiting ad on LinkedIn, and you wanted someone who was passionate about certain things. One of the things you wanted them to be passionate about was social media. Do you think that every recruiter should be on Twitter?
No.
Rainey? No? Why not? You said you want them involved in social media, and Twitter isn't included in that?
I am a huge fan of recruiters being who they are and using the tools that they are really going to commit to. So I don't expect every single recruiter. Personally, I have an Instagram account. I don't leverage it. I like Twitter. I like my, LinkedIn, these other sites. But I don't expect all recruiters to have a Twitter account. I think unless they're using it.
Okay, leverage, by the way, since Jerry said words that he doesn't like, leverage is one of the words I don't like. Use means the exact thing. I don't use my Instagram account. I don't leverage it. Oh. Okay. Do you use personality assessments? We've got a guy who, one of my favorite guests, because he's different from everybody else. He's a psychologist, and he's going to come back soon. You might have heard him. He just raves about personality assessments. He said they are essential. Otherwise, you're not going to know anything really about your candidate. Do you ever use them? Psychology assessments?
I have used them in the past. I'm working with a couple clients that use two different assessments. I have mixed feelings about the assessments. I think it's how you're using it and what you're basing your assessments on. So that's my response to this.
Well, I didn't understand anything you said, but do you find that the candidate will be the new hire will stay longer? Are there any indications of what the long-term results of using the assessments are as opposed to not using them? Is that within your realm of experience, or maybe you haven't been able to follow and test it for that appropriate time?
I think assessments are best used from a managerial standpoint, so how you're communicating, motivating, inspiring.
Okay, but not a hiring standpoint. You mean not a hiring standpoint? Yeah, okay, let's move on. I got your answer. Is it bad, in your opinion, if the candidate says that his or her main goal is to make money for their family? Most recruiters say that is a deal breaker. Someone says money's the main motive. I don't want to talk to this person. He or she is going to leave as soon as someone else offers them more money. Is that your opinion as well, or do you say, hey, you know what? I understand, and I'm interested in this person.
It depends on the role. I've recruited for sales positions for 10 years, and we want highly money motivated individuals in sales positions. So it depends on the position.
Okay. You mean you're not looking for sales? There's a lot of recruiters. They say, why'd you get into it? I love helping people. Okay. So when you're looking for a salesperson, you're not looking for someone to say, I'm a social worker. I like helping people. You're looking for someone who wants to make money. Is that right?
100% highly motivated individuals that are driven by.
Okay, so is that true for an agency recruiter as well?
If you're, give me the question again.
Do recruiters, agency recruiters, should they be just like you described, these salespeople, money motivated. I want to make money as opposed to I want to contribute to the team. I want to help people, job hunters and stuff like that.
That's a good question. I think you do. You have to. I mean, most agencies are commissions driven. So if you're not motivated by making money, you're not going to be successful.
Okay. So here's what you said in the ad as well. You, just for a recruiting job, you said the position will be strategically aligned with a specific sales rep to support business development efforts. And strategically aligned, what does that mean?
Well, I that must have been a position that was we were hiring for a recruiter position at an agency environment. So at the agency that I worked at, recruiters and the account manager were very closely aligned when it went to working with the clients.
So what does strategic mean, though, in that context? Long-term, they've got a long-term partnership. Is that what it means exactly? Like this recruiter is going to work with this sales rep on an ongoing basis long-term.
Yes.
They won't be switching from rep to rep. Is that what it means?
Yes, that's how
Is everybody smarter than me? They don't have to ask questions like that. I always wonder.
Yes, and I.
Next question. Is the number of peak women in tech, is that a real issue? Yes or no?
Yes.
It is? What's causing it?
What's causing it? Well, there's. It starts way back in grade school and kindergarten. I mean, there's all kinds of insights around why women are. You know, not pursuing, you know, degrees and going into engineering and technical.
Okay, but it's not because.
Is it possible they're simply not interested? Is that possible? I'm just throwing that out there as an idea.
Women are interested?
Go ahead.
Percentage wise, maybe they're just not as interested.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I don't think there's enough women that have interest in the technical field that's going to.
Yeah, but you believe it's because they're conditioned out of it. They're guided from the time they're girls away from it. It's not because people like you are prejudiced against them in the hiring process or the hiring managers don't want to hire women. They want to hire clones of themselves. Is that it? Are the recruiters and hiring managers unconsciously or consciously prejudiced against women?
No, I don't believe that. I don't want to believe that. When there is, you know, one woman in a team of, you know, 15 developers and they're going out and having beers and
working hard and playing harder.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't create an environment that's inviting or engaging to women.
Okay, in tech shops.
Animal, it's Rich
Rosen. Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
Yeah. Hey, I will tell you, I've got clients that will actually pay me extra to hire women. They're dying for women. They want women clients. They want women candidates. They want women to hire on their teams. So it's they just don't get into it. They just don't, I mean,
so it's
just,
not the
you know,
recruiter and it's not the hiring manager. According to Jerry, it's an innate distinction. Women are interested in other jobs like lawyers.
No, I didn't say it was an innate distinction. I said maybe there just aren't as many interested. I didn't prescribe a reason why.
And Rainey
okay.
agreed with that.
This is a very, very treacherous time here in the States, Animal. And I always guard myself.
The next question is going to come addressed.
Rich knows exactly what I'm talking about, too.
These women,
Amen.
Rich can answer, or Rainey, or both of you. Once a woman goes into a tech shop, is she going to get all kinds of sexual innuendos whenever she says anything?
This is where I hang up. I can't be a part of
why?
It.
Why? Why? So Thanksgiving, it was Thanksgiving here on Monday in Canada, and I talked about that with a woman at the party I went to. And she told me when she started
out a long
time
ago. You were on a date yesterday, Monday?
It wasn't a date. It was a party.
Dating the turkey.
Okay?
Does she
we
think
didn't
it was
have turkey. It was a vegetarian household. Okay. They did have salmon there. They did have salmon. Okay, you know what?
Oh,
you guys think about it. I want to know. So the one woman, she's been in a long time. She's been in IT for a long time. She said when she started out, when she was at university taking computer science degree, she had no problems. When she went to Deloitte to work there and other places, there were lots of guys who didn't go to university. They were community college grads, and they made a lot of sexual remarks or other – I can't remember what else she said. They when she said something, it was either some kind of sexual remark that came back or something like that. But then she became a consulting contractor, like a temp worker, and she doesn't encounter it now. So I was just wondering, you know, we're hearing constantly that, you know, this is an issue. The environment is not conducive to women. Why not ask the recruiters, okay? And we got two good answers, that recruiters are not prejudiced against women. I was just wondering if the candidates, once they're hired, encounter problems in the office. Maybe nobody knows.
Here's what I know. Anywhere there is a woman, there is a man stopping himself
careful,
from being inappropriate.
Careful.
I don't care what environment it is. It's just that's some men are pigs. And it doesn't matter whether it's in an IT department or in a bank office or anywhere. I mean, career has much to do with it, does it?
No. I'm just glad I work by myself. I got to tell you. It'd be scary to be a 20-year-old guy, 25-year-old guy in an office nowadays. You know, I mean, or girl, I mean, you know, not, you know, you get in conversation, everyone gets all upset if you're not defending the victim, you know, but sometimes there's false victims, you know. So
no, I got news for you. Harvey Weinstein wasn't 20. Okay, I'm going to do an ad for Hire Tool. H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L. Hire Tool is what they call it, but I call it Hire Tool. And Nin, the sponsor, he says he doesn't mind. Either way is fine with them. But let me tell you what it does. If you are living on another planet and you don't know, you heard Rainey, the guest today, said that she loves Hire Tool. She uses their Chrome extension to get all kinds of direct phone numbers to people she wants to recruit. And you can do that too. It's free. Okay, go to HireTool.com and download that. But if you want to do a full search, here's the thing. You don't have to be a Boolean expert. You go to HireTool, put in your search terms in regular English, and it creates the search string for you. It searches a wide range of sites like GitHub, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it. And it comes back with a ranked list of potential candidates. It tells you what they're probably earning. It tells you who's most likely to want to leave or be ready to leave now. And then it's up to you to get in touch with those people using all the information they've given you. They don't tell you, you know, if the person likes camping or Red Hot Cheetos, okay? So you can build some kind of rapport with them based on some commonality, but it does tell you everything else. So go check them out at HireTool, HireTool.com. Red Hot, what was it, Cheetos? The guy said, I'm not kidding. There's a guy who was on the show, and he saw that somebody liked Cheetos, a certain kind of Cheetos, on his blog. And so that's what he liked them too. So that's what he went in with as his subject line on an email, Red Hot Cheetos or Flaming Hot Cheetos. I think that was it. Do you like that, Rainey, Flaming Hot Cheetos?
No.
No.
Okay, I got to tell you, Rainey, I'm going to get you on that because on your report from SourceCon, one of the approaches to get people to engage with you was to make them smile. What's going to make them not smile about Flaming Hot Cheetos, okay? That's funny.
No one's laughing.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a game, animal.
Okay. Here's what else. Yes, it is. It's a hunt is a game. You also say in your ad for a recruiter, I am looking for someone who approaches challenges with a positive can-do attitude. How does that show itself? I know I don't have that. I don't have a positive can-do attitude. But if I went to an interview and wanted to pretend that I did, what would I say? Oh, I love challenges. Okay, throw your toughest thing at me. Yeah, go. Is that what I would talk of? Is that how I would present myself? What is it you're looking for there when you say you want a positive can-do attitude?
I'm looking for somebody that is highly motivated by personal goals and achieving them and, pushing themselves to overcome challenges and obstacles.
How do they tell you that?
Judge Kavanaugh.
Gary, you said you don't want trouble. You said now you're throwing like a red banner in front of a bull, okay? That's a bad word now. Kavanaugh is a bad word, so don't use it on this show. Okay,
Shane,
look.
That guy's a hardworking dude.
Yeah, here he goes. He's going to start.
He
goes after me for not being political, and he's bringing that in. You know, it's over. It's out of the news already.
Ford Kavanaugh makes for good conversation.
He's on the Supreme Court. That's not even a political position.
There you go.
Okay, Rainey, I want to know. Did you interview some people for that job? Who showed you that they had a positive can-do attitude? If I'm a recruiter, is it just their breathlessness? You know, we've got Rich on the line here. He says a recruiter has to show energy. When they call someone, they have to show excitement about the job they're working on. Is it just by acting peppy that you convey a positive can-do attitude? Is that what I should be looking for if I want someone like that?
Yeah, it can be. It can be. Somebody that has, you know, a cheerleader attitude over the phone, because most of the time that's where it starts, is necessary. It's needed. You have to be exciting.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I will mention the people with borderline personality disorder. At first, they love you, and they love bomb you, and they make you think you're the most fantastic person in the world, but then they turn on you. That's the thing, okay? So if you're unlucky enough to get someone like that, for, you know, hopefully they can be really enthusiastic during the interview, and then once they're in there, they're not your problem anymore. Okay. Now, here's something else you said in one of your postings that I thought was
interesting.
You said that employers are coming to the table right away with their best offers now because they want to end the recruiting process quickly. It's so hard to find and hire IT people that, boom, they, you know, and so in your article was how to negotiate, you know, job hunters or candidates, and you said don't fool around. You know, you want to ask for 10% more than they offered you, go ahead. But don't be ridiculous, because these guys are coming to you with their best right off the bat. Is that true?
Yes, it is. I mean, especially in the agency world, we saw this time and time again where finally the manager is at the table to extend an offer. It is his or her best offer. The candidate has five other offers in hand. I mean, that is reality in the tech scene. Not only does the candidate not have the patience and timeline to sit around and negotiate, nor does the manager want to do that as well. So why play the game of negotiations, see who's going to, you know, who's going to give?
So let me ask you something. Since these people who are – these candidates have multiple offers coming in, I think Jerry would mention this once before. Correct me if I'm wrong. He will. Okay, that you get candidates, they accept the job, they leave after a week when another offer comes in. Is that a real problem in IT? That you never know if, you know, your candidate is actually – committed to the new position. They might have a bunch of other things that are still in the pipeline, and they'll jump as soon as they come if they're better.
I don't necessarily see that for direct hire positions, but certainly contract roles.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, you said, or you quoted someone saying, that 77% of employers value soft skills as much as hard skills. I don't believe it. And you say that 25% of every tech job listing is made up of soft skills. I think they just throw that in. It's really an afterthought that, you know, what you need are the people who can do the job, that you're not really testing for soft skills, okay? Are you, when you're hiring these IT guys or women, are you really interested in their soft skills?
Yes, so much so. Regardless if it's a technical position or a non-technical position, it is certainly something that it makes or breaks the hiring process at the end. You know,
okay. Well, tell me. You know, okay. Let's say we know already someone who's like a cheerleader. That's good soft skills. What are bad soft skills? Have you ever ruled somebody out because of you know, their soft skills?
Look, it typically comes down to communication.
Yeah. Like what? What is it about their communications that you don't like? They're looking at the floor when they're talking to you. They mumble. You know, what is it? Or, you know, they just tell you that they hate people. What is it?
Yeah, all of that. You know, and some just basic things on how they are communicating their written communication during the hiring process. You know, a lot of companies, when it comes to technical roles, you're asked to do a technical assessment, which includes, you know, not only just, you know, coding challenges, but also just basic communication in emails back and forth that often candidates fail, the attention to detail in regards to that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Rich, you still with us? Richie?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
your question. You can handle the last 5 minutes. Go on. I want to hear you.
What questions? I was focused on something else. So, what question? What question?
I got them, but
I thought maybe you do.
Go ahead,
I was working on closing a deal, so I missed the last few minutes of circle.
Oh, okay.
No,
I'll let you go. It's okay. I thought you might have something worthwhile to contribute. It's okay. You go back to your commerce. Commerce. Jerry calls it commerce. Okay. Now,
commerce.
Here's something, Rain. I know Jerry asked a question about this on his Facebook group this week, and I read in one of your postings that being persistent when you're trying to contact someone and get them to talk to you, just being persistent can make people feel obligated to respond. I think you were quoting Glenn when you said that. Do you believe that?
Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, and certainly from a recruiter standpoint, you can't expect somebody to respond to you within your first, you know, 1, 2, 3 reach outs. Ideally, that's what you should be targeting. And if you're not, you need to look at your messaging. But in reality, you know, I typically try and contact if it's a highly qualified individual that I really want to spend time on the phone with, I'm contacting them at least 5 times. And it's not in an annoying way. Minimum. It's not in an annoying way. It's in a way that is going to pique their interest enough to, you know, want to at least respond back to me and have a conversation.
How do I avoid being annoying? Obviously, I am annoying. We just agreed on it. Like, but how do I avoid being annoying when I'm approaching these people, you know, 5, 10 times?
I think, you know, I think you definitely need to lead with your nice foot, lead with your heart, be authentic, and be personable, and let them, you want to talk about them, not about a job opportunity. I mean, we've all heard that time and time again, but it really does make the difference. And,
And you're leaving a voice. Do you leave voicemail messages? Do you leave voicemail, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so when I'm leaving a voicemail message, you know, talk about them, what should I say?
I don't – not in a voicemail message. My voicemail messages are very vague, and I leave enough – I leave something there to pique their interest, whether it's something funny – or I'm referencing an event that they recently attended or a tweet that they just made or somebody that they're connected with. So I leave it vague.
I
want to
hear I want to hear an example of what's funny. What's funny?
I would do my research.
Like, would you do a Groucho impression or, you know, Bugs Bunny? I want to know. Well, you said I'm funny. And someone said today on my Facebook group, yeah, she finds comedy is good, but you told me Flaming Hot Cheetos? Forget about it. You know, don't call up and say, I like Flaming Hot Cheetos, okay? That's what you told me.
I would say that to you. If you posted something about Flaming Hot Cheetos on your Twitter account, I would call you and leave that message. That's not necessarily – I mean, I think it's fun. I'm laughing because I think it's funny that you think it's funny. But in reality, I don't have my own jokes that I'm putting out there to make people laugh about. You know,
okay.
I'm using what they're putting out to draw in their attention to why.
Okay, so, yeah, you follow their lead. You don't call up and say, you know, I saw Jerry Seinfeld on Letterman last night, and Letterman's not on the show anymore.
God, no.
Okay, and he had a funny joke. I'm going to leave you with that, okay? And then hopefully you'll call me back so we can talk about what I really want to talk about. You don't do that, okay? What's your final word for the show? What's your final word? 508, I'm going to open up. Oh, you know what? There's a bunch of people here who I didn't have their open. Anybody else got a question who, area code 508 and 704, anybody want the final question with Rainey?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who are you?
This is Anthony, area code 704.
Anthony, the guest, the future guest?
Yes.
Anthony Caputi, go ahead. The floor is yours. Final question for Rainey.
So, Rainey, you, going back to something talking about earlier, and you train corporate recruiters, do you feel that corporate recruiters would be more effective if they were commission paid?
Oh, my God, that's a great question. As a corporate recruiter, my past corporate recruiter, I was commission paid. I made over, well, I'm not going to say on the show, but I made way more money as a corporate recruiter commissions than I did in an agency environment. So, I think they definitely.
How is that possible?
They should definitely be bonus.
What could that mean?
Okay, but
what have you recommended to customers?
As far as compensation.
Yeah, how do you bonus them? Is it by number of placements or by feedback from the hiring manager?
Yeah, so from a corporate recruiting standpoint, it would definitely be, you know, voice of the customer surveys, a percentage of that, because as you know, in corporate recruiting, you're doing much more than just filling positions. So that could certainly be a component of it. But, you know, whatever the important things are you trying to reduce agency spend? Are you trying to decrease your time to fill? Are you... You know, what are those critical things? And for me, when I was in corporate recruiting managing a team, we would sit down and we would identify what those things are yearly, break those out, you know, on a quarterly review and measure and track that and reward a percentage, a bonus percentage of their base salary if they met those goals.
Well, you know what? Why didn't Anthony call in the beginning of the show? I can tell that you're much more excited by him than you are by me, okay? And I like the show. I thought it was a good show. But now you give him a long answer. With me, I had to pull the answers out of you. You got to come back, Rainey. You got to come back another day on a louder phone, okay? I don't want to struggle to hear you next time. Go ahead.
I love you, Animal. This is great.
Oh, I love you, too. With a name like Rainey, how could I resist? Richie Rich, thank you for coming on. Anthony's going to be on in a few weeks. Anthony Caputi, Jerry Albright. Everybody likes Jerry better than they like me. Michael G. Cox was on for a few seconds. Alan Fleur and Rainey Lunke. We don't want that. There's nothing in there. Here we go. We'll close on this.